Turn to Galatians chapter 2 again. The one verse I've been concentrating on, some of the words and phrases the past two Sundays. What Paul wrote was this: I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Yeah. Now let me begin by saying this. What the scripture says, in its every word, in its every phrase, in its every nuance, in its every context, means exactly what it says. The more I study and read, the more I realize of myself and of others that men are prone to insert into Scripture their own opinions and ideas in any given passage. And they may even insert into that Scripture an idea or opinion, Mason, that's true. But they yet are inserting something that doesn't apply to the words themselves. And I mentioned this before, but let me give you the example. Paul does not say, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is preached in vain. He doesn't say that, does he? Now that certainly would be true, but that's not what Paul's talking about.
Exactly.
The foundation, the key, the honor of God in the gospel has to do with the person and the cross work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the gospel.
Yes, sir.
That is the message of the gospel. As Joe read to us several Sundays ago from Romans chapter 1, Paul talked about being separated unto the gospel of God. And then we have a few things in parentheses, but then the next words are this: concerning his son.
Amen.
And the good news is essentially this. The good news is all about something that already has been done.
Yes.
It's not even about what God is going to do or is doing.
That's right. Yeah.
Men talk about preaching the gospel, but then they talk about what the gospel does rather than talking about what Jesus Christ has done, and that is the gospel.
Amen.
And if men would just preach, Christ has done this and this and this, they would be preaching the gospel and would be doing what they claim to be standing for, and that is the gospel. They talk about the gospel is this and the gospel is that, but yet they don't talk about the gospel as though it is an accomplished work.
Exactly.
And it's just not so. Now, as a brief reminder, I started out with this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 teaches us this unassailable truth: man's absolute total corruption.
Amen.
We see that in two ways. One, it takes the death of the Son of God for there to be righteousness. Now listen to me, not faith in the Son of God, though that's true, but it takes the death of the Son of God for there to be righteousness.
Amen.
Well, that's what Paul says right here.
Yes,
now I can say, well, righteousness is imputed by faith, but that's not the subject at hand here.
Exactly.
Everybody at Galatia, I say everybody that was a part of that church, even the false teachers, none of them denied faith in Jesus Christ. Did they? But they were simply adding to the death of Christ other things.
Exactly.
And that's why Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by law, then Christ is what? Dead in vain.
Exactly.
Because therein is the foundation.
Yes, sir.
That's the cornerstone upon which the building is built. And that's the foundation from which the stream of salvation flows, is the death of Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
So we see man's total corruption in that. Man cannot gain righteousness on his own. It takes an act of the death. It took an act of the death of the Son of God. But the second part of man's total corruption is this. Man will take and then twist that message.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it? Not only is man so corrupt that it took the death of the Son of God to establish righteousness, but then men will take that very truth and then twist it to their own designs. Now, if that's not total absolute depravity, then I don't know what total absolute depravity is. For instance, people talk, think, when we talk about, if I mention the phrase total depravity, what do most people think of? Doing drugs, getting drunk, fornication. And let me tell you something, that is an appendage of our total depravity.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's true.
But even more heightened of man's total depravity is this. God says this, and man says, but it means that. There is man's total depravity at its height. Because certain men and women can abandon immoral things, but then they twist the very righteousness of God and distort it and deceive concerning it.
Yes, sir.
That's how corrupt we are. We are by nature. Not just them. That's how corrupt we are. Secondly, I talked about God's grace. Let me make two statements. Men frustrate the grace of God. But the grace of God cannot be frustrated.
Amen.
That's it.
And Joe, that is it. It's it. Just that. Don't try to make them fit.
Exactly.
Bow to the truth of them.
Yes.
That's just the way it is. God's grace. And there's one thing about God. No, there's many things about God's grace. But there's two things I want to point out again by the way of just bringing us back up to where we are now. What I want to talk about actually this morning concerning God's grace. One, God's grace starts with, as far as we are concerned, it starts with the election.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the election is called the election of grace.
Amen.
And it has nothing to do with any of man's work whatsoever, good or evil.
Amen. That's right.
But let me qualify my statement. I'm not trying to qualify God's word. But let me qualify my statement by saying this. Some people then say, well, you believe God chose some people to heaven and then other people to hell. That's not what the election is about. Election is unto salvation, and salvation is being sanctified by the Spirit and believing the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So God chose some people to come to believe Christ. Other people he rejected and said they will not. But there is no one that ever perishes for any other reason other than sin. For that same chapter, Romans chapter 9, talks about the vessels of wrath, and they are what? Fitted to destruction. Not just chosen to destruction. That's not what it says. They are either chosen or they are rejected. But they are either fitted to destruction or they have mercy. They are fore-prepared unto mercy.
Amen.
Isn't that what the Scripture teaches? Now, both of those things are true, and it's not up to us to try to make them a level playing field, per se.
Right.
We are to declare all that the Scripture says and leave it lay where it is.
That's it.
Now, this morning, what I want to try to talk about is this, righteousness and the law. Because Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. We've looked at that. But then he says, for if righteousness come by the law, for if righteousness come by the law. I want to talk about righteousness and the law. This will be quite simple. At least, I'm afraid it will be quite simple because you have a very simple person preaching to you. But it is a very profound subject, and I hope we will see some of those things highlighted. First of all, first thing, what is righteousness?
Yeah.
Do you have an answer to that question? A lot of people, probably most all people, think they know what righteousness is. But they don't. And it's evidenced by the way we think, by the way we believe, and by the way we live.
You're right.
All of those together. What is righteousness? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, if you look it up in a theological dictionary, you will get something along this lines. And it's true. This is what righteousness means. Righteousness is equity of character and act. It is righteousness of intent and deed.
Yeah.
You see it? Equity, correctness. In other words, correctness of both my character and my actions altogether. My actual intent,
yeah,
my reasons for doing what I do or what I don't do,
yeah,
you could say, and the actual doing or not doing of them.
Yeah.
That is righteousness. Now, two things concerning this, and that's right, righteousness is equity of or correctness of character and act. And that, what is the answer as far as, is there anybody here that's got that? Are you personally that? If you think you are, you're an idiot.
There you go. That's it.
You're right. And I'm not even trying to be funny. That's just a fact. You, if you really think that you are correct, righteous, you are equitable in your character and your actions, you don't even know yourself.
That's exactly it.
And usually when you hear someone say, you'll see this on TV, well, they were just trying to find themselves. And you find out what they found out, you find out they have not ever yet discovered themselves.
Yeah,
because right, they have no idea what they truly are. Yeah. Two things. First of all, God alone is righteousness. Now, I have the word here, God alone is intrinsic righteousness, and that's true, but it's still only true. God alone is righteousness.
Amen.
God is righteous in himself.
Yeah.
God is absolute righteousness. God is pure righteousness. Because, and I say those words, that reminds me of something Scott Richardson said years ago about, he said, sovereign grace. He said, that's like calling water wet. But if someone doesn't know water is wet, then they have to be instructed that water is wet. For me to say God is absolute righteousness, God is pure righteousness, Mason, that's redundant. But yet redundancy is often what God uses to teach us anything.
Exactly.
To just keep saying it over and over, or keep reading it over and over, or keep hearing it over and over, until finally God Almighty is pleased to let it stick. God alone is pure righteousness. In other words, righteousness is not out there and God gets it. There is not a standard of righteousness out there and then God obtains it. Scripture says, righteousness belongeth unto thee. In other words, God is righteousness. That's what I'm just saying. In other words, whatever righteousness is, this equity, correctness of character and act, God is the only true example of that.
Amen.
The only pure example of that. In other words, all that God does and all that God is right because it's who God is. Even when God told Israel to go into certain cities or towns or hamlets and to slaughter everything that breathed, including the infants, then God was right.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah, that's
when God Almighty rained fire and brimstone down from heaven, and burnt up the cities of the plains, that means what? God was right.
Amen.
Now, if I did that, you might figure there's an ulterior motive. If I did that, if I went and burnt some city, you could say Walters went over the deep edge, it's time to lock him up. But when God does something, it's right by virtue of God doing it.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
You don't say, here is God, there is righteousness, and God's got to be that. No, God is who he is, and that is righteousness.
Amen.
And someone says, well, we're supposed to be like God. Where does it say that? That was the first original lie of the devil.
Exactly.
And yet you've got so-called Christian Baptists out there telling people you ought to be like God is. You can't be.
Amen.
We were created in his image, but we were still inferior to him.
Yeah.
We were still below him. He has always been, even in our uprightness in Adam, he was always above us and better than us and more than us.
Amen.
Always so. God is righteousness. But secondly, here's the rub. God requires, yea, even more than that, God demands righteousness of man.
Amen.
He demands it.
Yes,
the very fact that he is righteousness intrinsically, that he is righteousness purely, that he is absolute righteousness, God then demands the same.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Not a different order of righteousness.
Exactly.
Not a different brand of righteousness. Not a different kind of righteousness. God Almighty demands the same righteousness that he is. He demands it. He requires it of men. God requires it in our actions and in our intentions. We love to boast that, well, I meant to do this, but that happened. And boy, wasn't it just great that it happened that way. Make ourselves feel pretty good sometimes. But if we were usually honest, usually our intentions are flawed from the get-go.
That's it.
That's the problem.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 18. There's a passage there, and I know you've heard it before. Earl read it. Joe's probably read it. I've read it. Others have read it and preached about it or from it. But Ezekiel chapter 18, and listen to these words. Verse 19, yet ye say, this is God is talking to Israel, and he's saying, this is what you say. Why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? These are questions. When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. Then look at what God says. Verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Look, the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Now, God here is establishing, he is crying out, he is declaring pure law. The way things actually are. This is the way it is as far as righteousness is concerned. Most people think, well, yeah, okay, God's really righteous, and we need to be like that, but he realizes that we're weak, and we're human after all. So God then lowers the standard for us. Look at what he actually says. Now, most people, when they read these words, they think they can actually do these things. But that's me jumping ahead of myself. But look at what he says, verse 21. But if the wicked will turn from, now look at what he says, all his sins. It don't just say turn. It don't just say get a new attitude. It says, if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die.
Amen.
Now, is that right or wrong?
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. And man reads that and says, well, then evidently we can. But now here's a question. Let's just think of, okay, let's say you can, and let's say you do. But what if you mess up one time?
Exactly.
What if you are wicked, and you turn from all your wickedness, and you turn to all of his ways, but you mess up one time?
Yeah.
Then read the next verse.
Exactly.
Look at it. Let me read. Well, it says, in all his transgressions he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. And look, have I any pleasure? I said the next verse. See how preachers lied to you, didn't it? Have I any pleasure at all, and the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. And look what he says, but. There's another but.
Yeah.
You see it? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, notice even God says singular.
Yeah.
You see it? Yeah. And in his sin that he hath sinned, singular, in them shall he, what? Die.
Amen.
Die. Well, I'm just going, it's all I got to do is just turn to the Lord. You better turn absolutely and perfectly.
Exactly.
Isn't that what he says right there?
Yeah.
Well, but God knows. No, God knows what real, here's the standard. Yeah. This is law declared straightforward.
Yes, sir.
As it is.
Yeah.
That we must be righteous both in our actions and in our intentions. Intentions. Think about that. Psalm 51. David, after his sin with Bathsheba. No need to try to use adjective. His great crime against God with Bathsheba. Cried out these words in Psalms 51 verse 6. But you desire truth where? In the inward parts.
Amen.
In the inward parts. And that presents a dilemma to us. Because our Lord then came along and taught in Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20, that out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The inward part, the mouth speaks.
Amen.
Have you ever said the wrong thing?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever said the wrong words?
Yeah.
It's because you got the wrong kind of heart to start with.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because Christ said, out of the heart proceeds evil what? First of all, evil what? Thoughts. Then murders, adulteries, fornication, all of these things. Our problem doesn't begin out here. We may clean up the outside of the platter, but we cannot clean up the inside. We're like the graves that have been garnished, the nice flowers, the grass over it. The hump is even smooth. You know? Everything manicured and fine. But what's down under all that?
Yeah.
A corpse.
Exactly.
A rotting, stinking corpse. And that's what I am by nature. And let me tell you something. You best hope God never allows you to get over that.
Yeah.
Because if you're ever able to get over that, then God Almighty hadn't dealt with you in grace. There are people that put their nose up at us and say, we put our nose up at them. I know what you really are. No, you really don't get it, do you?
Exactly.
Well, I know you've sinned. That ain't the question. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
But let me tell you, Jesus Christ's death made the difference.
Amen.
I didn't say my understanding, Joe, of his death made the difference. I'm saying his death made the difference.
Amen.
That fellow you was talking about, Calvinist, who says if you're not like him, you're not saved, he's probably the one that's in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, let me point my finger at him. Why? Because he thinks, because of what he is and what he knows, that he's righteous in God's sight. I am righteous in God's sight. If I am righteous in God's sight, only because Jesus Christ died as my substitute on that tree.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's the way it is. That's the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the gospel. We have a dilemma. Job put it, well, it's put in the book of Job. You can turn to it later if you wish. But Job 15, verses 14 through 16. How Job, it's put this way about us. How abominable and filthy is man.
Amen.
And I still can taste that.
Yeah.
Not about you. That ain't the question for me. I can still taste that of myself.
Yeah. Amen.
I still know that of myself. And not just I know that I used to be like that. I'm still like that today.
That's it.
I'm still like that today. And were it not for the free and reigning grace of God Almighty, I would perish with all others who perish, and rightfully so. Those are not just words. They're what I know. I've tasted it. I've eaten that little book. It's sweet. Huh? But what happens when you swallow it? Bitter. There's a lot of people who profess free sovereign grace, but they know nothing of the bitterness of it.
Yeah.
Oh, they talk a lot about the sweetness of it, but they know nothing of the bitterness of it.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Am I going off kilter here? Uh-huh. No, sir. Because there's a reason. There is righteousness, but what about the law? We're going to see the bitterness of it.
Yeah.
First of all, when we talk about law, and I don't have time to go into this in detail. I'll just hit a few high spots on this one. Ignorance, when it comes to the law, ignorance is never any justification.
You're right.
Now, most of us talk about ignorance. Is ignorance an excuse? We ain't talking even about excuse. We ain't even talking about reason. Ignorance is no justification.
That's right.
Romans chapter 2, Paul basically puts it this way. Some's going to perish with law, others are going to perish without law.
Exactly.
They'll both perish.
Amen. That's it.
That's what he says.
Yeah. That's it.
Romans chapter 2, you can read it for yourselves. Let me find it here again. Verses 12 through 16. Because Paul says there is a law within every single individual, whether they know of the law or not.
That's right.
There's a law that God has put within them. It's basically called the law of conscience.
Yeah.
Which is either always either accusing or excusing itself or one another.
Yeah.
There is never any justification in ignorance. But the second problem is, the second thing is this. Nevertheless, ignorance is rampant.
Yes, sir.
And you know the passage of Romans 10. For that, Paul said, I love Israel. I love my people. Yeah. My prayer and heart's desire to God is what? That they might be saved.
Yeah.
I bear them record. I know what they got.
Yeah.
But they being ignorant of one thing.
Yeah.
What's the one thing they were ignorant of that caused the problem? That Mason was the catalyst for everything else.
Yeah.
What was the one problem of ignorance they had? For they being ignorant, what? Of God's righteousness.
That's right.
See, not just being ignorant of righteousness. All of us have a standard of righteousness.
Yeah.
I mentioned it last week. And we all, even if we do this, we say, but I haven't done that.
Yeah.
I still find myself saying that today.
Oh, yeah.
I watch TV and I think, or I say, I usually think it, but I sometimes am dumb enough to say it. Well, I ain't never done that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah. Yeah.
You watch some of these crime shows, you say, boy, I just ain't never done that. That's us putting the standard up of our own. No matter what it is.
Yeah, you're right.
No, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish what? Their own righteousness. They have not what? Submitted themselves, bowed down to the righteousness of God. And what does Christ, or what does Paul say? He says, Christ, not the gospel, not faith in the gospel. Well, somebody said, you're belittling it. No, I'm putting it in its right place.
Amen.
Yeah.
No, he says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Believeth what? Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
Christ. The law has a purpose. Romans 5:20. Now, ignorance is rampant. But let me tell you, men don't even know the law.
You're right. Yeah.
They don't even know the law. Oh, they may know the verbiage of it, the nouns of it. They may know the academic statements of it. Thou shalt not, right? Thou shalt not. Or thou shalt. They know that. But men really don't get the law. The law has a purpose. According to Paul in Romans 5:20, the purpose of the law is this. Moreover, the law entered. Why?
Yeah.
That the offense might abound.
Amen.
God gave the law to show us how bad we really are.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, sir.
That's what he did. The law has a purpose. And then, according to Paul in Romans 7, verse 7, the law details sin. It defines it.
Yeah.
I had not known sin, except, you know what, you know, I had not known lust, wasn't it? He said, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
Amen.
I want you to think about something. I've heard this statement before. It has a body of truth to it, but it can be misunderstood. Men have said, well, we don't even need the law to show us what sin is. Just look to Calvary. No, what you see at Calvary is this. You see God's judgment against sin. But you don't see sin defined. You don't see sin detailed. Sin is detailed by the law. The law says, this is sin.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
This act, or this particular thought, or this particular deed, that is a sin.
Yeah.
That's what the law does.
Yes, sir.
The law has its purpose. The law details sin, but the law also manifests man's fallen state. In three ways. It manifests, and the first two apply to or are over everyone, whether they know it or not. Because remember, ignorance is no excuse.
Exactly.
Paul's done stated that. The law manifests man's fall of state. First of all, there is the judicial revelation.
Yeah.
Now, in the law is just, let's take like the laws of men, you know, in the court of the law and all of that. The law is the law. It doesn't matter whether you understand it or not.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, granted, in our laws, we try to make exceptions.
Yeah.
And I've even mentioned that one at last. We make our exceptions. But law is law. I mean, you go murder somebody in cold blood, you know, punishment ought to be the same for everybody. You know that?
Sure.
According to God.
Yeah.
Now, you sit here, well, it ought, no. According to God, you go murder somebody in cold blood, what does God say?
Yeah.
You're going to die.
Yeah, that's
what he says, right?
Yeah.
There is no, well, but there might have been extenuating circumstances. No. God don't play that game. But here it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 9. Paul calls it this. Paul calls the law this. It's this judicial revelation. It is a glorious condemnation of death.
Amen.
That's what the law is.
Amen.
And that revelation is upon every man, whether it's revealed to the man or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? The law is a glorious condemnation of death, even if a man or a woman thinks, I can keep the law and I'll be okay. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Most people think, not so much that they can keep all the law, but they can at least do enough that it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Or, if not that, at least this. I can keep some of the law, but where I can't keep the law, then Jesus will take care of the rest of that. Isn't that the way they think? Paul says this is it is a glorious condemnation of death.
Amen.
And that's real whether a man knows it or not.
That's it.
But there's another one. There is the academic revelation. And I want to turn to that one. Romans chapter 3. In other words, there's the judicial, the standard. It's there. It's the standard. It's fixed. It's set. Now, this is another standard. But still yet, it's the standard that most men do not see. Romans chapter 3. And I will give you what Earl said about it, but here's the verse, Romans chapter 3. Where am I at? Verse 19. Now we know. Now notice what he says. Now we know. Because most people don't.
Yeah.
It's the we's who know.
You're right. That's it.
But we know. Some people do know it. But for we, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. But my question is this. Has it?
Yeah, exactly.
Has the law stopped every man's mouth? There's still people out there. I still find myself at times boasting about what I have or have not done. Still today, and I know better. How much more those who can't even know better?
Exactly.
Huh? And what did Earl say about, what does this really say? That every mouth may be stopped. You know what Earl said that means?
Yeah.
God's law is saying to everyone, just shut up.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
That every mouth might be stopped. What's to stop your mouth? Shut up.
Yeah.
But I, shut up. I have it. Shut up.
Yeah.
I'm not as bad as. Shut up.
Exactly.
Other people are not my standard.
That's
God's
right.
Law is my standard.
Yeah.
That's it. That's God's it. Law is the standard. It's the standard that God's given.
Amen.
That every mouth may be stopped. What? And all the world may become guilty before God. And that's an academic thing. But you know what? Most people don't know that lesson.
Right.
Now, Paul does say, now we know. But most people don't. Now, how does a man get to know that?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul will tell us.
Yes, sir.
Here we have... You have the judicial revelation of the law. You have the academic revelation. But there, I'm saying this more, there must be an experiential revelation of the law.
Amen.
Whether you understand it to be the law or not.
Yeah.
God Almighty, in other words, let me say this. If God Almighty has not brought you to abhor yourself and hate what you are by nature, God Almighty has yet to call you.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't care what profession you've made. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care if you're a member of this assembly. If God Almighty has not brought you to taste and know and be able to, without question, how corrupt you are, and that never leaves you, you have not yet been called by God. Because this is one of the first things God begins, one of the first things. Not necessarily the first, but it's one of the first things God begins to teach everyone that he calls. That's how bad they really are. And if you've never had that experience, you've not yet been called of God. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much you believe the 5 points and those beyond. Look at what Paul says, Romans chapter 7. Let me begin just verse 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, you see it, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Now, there was a time when Paul didn't think this way. No, was there not?
Yes, sir. That's right.
There's a time when Paul thought, I'm keeping the law. I'm doing God's law. God will look favorably upon me because of what I do or I don't do. And look, it wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin... And it didn't say, was it a sin? Dead. Put it that way. Without the law. Somebody said, well, you don't have to have a law work, just a cross work. The cross work was back yonder.
Yeah.
2,000 years ago. You can't have a cross work now.
Exactly.
The cross work's done.
Amen. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. You've got to have a cross work. No, you've got to have a law work.
That's right. Yeah.
And the law work is this. It's not... You start trying to keep the law. It's God Almighty reveals to you how bad you really are.
Amen.
And if everybody else got to go to heaven, I know I don't deserve to.
Yeah, exactly.
You even feel that way.
Yeah.
Though you come to find out, even that ain't true, Mac.
That's right.
What is he saying? Now look, let's go on. For I was alive without the law once. Now that's what Paul thought. That's what he felt. Now, he wasn't saying, I was alive in Christ. No, Paul said, I thought I stood before God. God was looking down on me and smiling at me. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came. Now the commandment came when? When did the commandment came? That was way back yonder. That preceded even the cross work. That was way back yonder on Sinai, wasn't it? But that ain't what he's talking about, is it? He's talking about when God Almighty made that commandment and it lit down on me and would not get off. And I don't care what commandment or commandments it was. God may have started in a certain area with you about how bad you are in that one area, and all of a sudden it begins to spread like a disease. It may have been one thing to start with that you were concentrating on, and God Almighty let the law lay dead on you, and you seen how bad you was, but all of a sudden you started to see his tentacles go out. And the commandment, or for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and what did I do? I died. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, we teach man was born dead in trespasses and sins. But Paul's saying you've got to experience that death.
Yeah.
It's an experience of this work of the law. You got to experience how dead you really are. How dead are you? Stinking, rotten dead. Huh? Not dead and sliced up and put in the freezer for later consumption.
That's right.
I mean rotten carcass dead.
Exactly.
There is a difference in that death, ain't it? We eat death all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
Pluck a green bean off the stalk, Mac. Guess what? It's now a dead green bean.
Yeah.
The life is beginning to go away. We eat that stuff. No, we ain't talking about that. We talk about the rotten carcass of the possum.
Yeah.
You going to go gnaw on that? But yet, that's what we expect God to do. Is to bring it up to his holiness. Don't we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't we? No, see, that's what I am. I'm a rotting carcass.
Exactly.
In God's sight. God said so.
Yeah.
What you are has come up in a stench in my nostrils.
Amen.
God said that, so I can use that illustration, can't I?
That's right.
No, the law must be revealed. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be what? What it truly is. Death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. But then, look, I want you to go down to verse 14. I got to hurry because of time. Look, for we know that the law is, now, have you ever heard somebody talk about this?
Yeah.
For we know that the law is, look at that next word. Mm-hmm. What does it say? For the law is carnal. Is that what it says? No. Now, Hebrews, Penny looked it up for me. I thought about it this morning, but things kind of started happening. I didn't get a chance to look at it, but she would got the scripture out. We read it. She read it to me this morning on the way up here. And there is, it does talk about the law of carnal commandments, but it's talking about all of those actual fleshly things they did under the law.
Yeah.
When God says, thou shalt not steal, that's not a carnal commandment. That's spiritual.
That's right.
Yeah. He says right here, the law is what? Spiritual. So can the law aid in spiritual work? Yes! It's spiritual! A part of the being spiritual is God revealing to you how bad you really are.
Yes, sir.
How much you are in need of a death that's passed and over with.
Yeah, exactly.
Christ's death.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. For the law, for we know that the law is what? Spiritual. But what is carnal? I am.
Amen.
But I am carnal and this more.
Yeah.
Look at it.
Yeah.
Look, here's what God shows you. And if he hadn't showed you this, let me just say that you hadn't been where Paul's been. Now you take that for what it is.
Yeah. You're right.
You take that for what it is. I'm not going to sit here and make accusations or judgments. You take this, if you haven't been there, you have at least been where Paul's been.
That's right.
And I say this, as God is my witness, I've been where Paul's been.
Amen.
Look at what he says. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. What? Sold under sin. And he uses that in the present tense.
Yeah. Amen.
I still know that.
Yeah.
I haven't yet got over that.
Exactly.
And you better thank God for it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now I know when this first starts to happen, it's not a pleasant thing.
No.
And when God Almighty Mason reveals it to you, not anew, but afresh again. It hurts. But it's for a reason. It's a reason is so that we will not look at ourselves.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if you, when God brings you to where you can't even find any pleasure in yourself, it's not too hard to believe that God's not going to find any pleasure in yourself.
You're right.
It's easier then to bow down to the feet of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Yeah.
When you know I'm not even satisfied with me, how in the world could a holy, righteous God be satisfied with me? You better hope you don't ever get over that. But let me tell you, you better hope that you've been through that.
Yeah.
The law is spiritual. Think about that. The law is spiritual. Now, let me sum this up. Thus, the law teaches the need for that which is more than itself.
Yes.
Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. We were kept under the law. Shut up. Shut up. Do you remember being there?
Yeah.
When you really began to realize what the law was? And more importantly, maybe you didn't recognize it as a law work, but you begin to realize what you were.
Amen.
In God's sight. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Maybe you don't see it as a law work. It was, whether you know that or not, but what Paul's talking about, God brings every one of his own when he calls them. He brings them to see their own personal corruption.
Yes, sir.
That's where he brings every one of them. For we were kept under the law, what? Under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. For the law was our what? To bring us unto Christ. So is the law a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing.
Amen.
Yep. Now, we don't preach the law, but we still declare what the law says.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? If I'm reminiscing doing so, God will teach his people that.
Mm-hmm.
He'll teach you how bad you are, and you'll never get over it.
Yeah.
I don't even know, Mason, though we may be over it, I don't know that we'll ever forget it, even in glory. Because even in glory, those that John's seen, they're still crying out, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of.
Yeah.
It's out of. So they remember the past.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Even they remember the past. Now, granted, there's going to be something different than Mason. I'll no longer be under that.
Yes.
But yet I won't forget that. Why? Because that's what forces us to look to Christ. Forces you to look from without yourself and say, God, if Christ did not die for me, I'm a goner. And rightfully so. Somebody says, that'll cause you to quit pointing your fingers at other people. Don't be stupid. You'll still point your fingers at other people. And you'll stick your chest out and you talk about how good you are. But you know better.
Yeah.
That's right. You know better. Well, you know, well, maybe God will save them too. Maybe He will, and maybe He won't. That's the whole matter of, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by law, then Christ is what? Dead in vain. You see, when Christ died, He did something.
Yes, sir.
Christ said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abideth.
Yeah.
What? Alone. But if it does, it'll die. And what will it do? It will bring forth much fruit.
Amen.
Is that what Christ said? Now, I believe Him.
Yeah.
And I bet you He knows more about horticulture or whatever that's called than anybody else does.
Yeah.
Why He made it all. So let me finish this. Four things. It is no wonder then that Paul declares, I do not frustrate the grace of God.
Amen.
For if righteousness come by the law, if you could get it by the law,
yeah,
Christ's death was vanity.
Exactly.
If God could have saved one by law,
yeah,
He'd have saved one by law.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But that had only been one. Well, the scripture says He's going to do a short work. That don't mean this way.
No.
That means this way.
Yeah.
It means limited in number.
Yeah.
Most people think of, they always think of quantity, not quality.
Yeah.
They think the glory of God's grace is how many, at least it saved more than the law did, Job. At least Jesus saved more than the law did.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you, if He saves one, He saves more than the law did.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. It is no wonder then. But secondly, listen, there must be righteousness.
Amen.
God has lowered the standard for no one, even those He loves.
That's right.
He's not going to lower, just because He loves you, He did not lower the standard for you. Christ died. That's the standard upheld. And how? He died the just for the unjust.
Yeah.
He was even along while that was going. The just for the unjust, it also says He was made sin.
Amen.
Earl put it this way, years ago. Can you imagine all of the filthy cesspools of the world poured out upon you?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Just the filth. That's what happened to Christ. It wasn't just a legal thing. He hung on that cross and cried out because it was real. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why God forsook him? Because God seed sin in him. That's right. It says in him. He bore our sins where? On his own body. Is that what it says? No. In! I can't explain that, but it says in his own body on the tree. That's the death of Christ, not just the hanging there dying.
Exactly.
He died with that all on him.
Yes,
yet all along, Mason, still being the just one.
Yeah.
Still being in his own personal character, the just one. There must be righteousness. Therefore, every time you see, if God Almighty's given you life, when you see the law, you know what you're going to begin to see? You know what you'll see? Every time you read it, you'll see how bad you are.
Yeah.
And if you ever start reading the law and you start thinking how good you are, it ought to scare the living daylights out of you.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's right, to scare the living daylights out of
you.
And fourthly, the grace of God through Christ's death. Did you hear what I said? The grace of God through Christ's death is the only answer. I'm going to put it in this light. Not to denigrate other things. No, sir. But to put them in their proper place. The grace of God through Christ's death, not through your repentance. Because you've got to keep repenting over and over and over again, don't you? How many times did Christ die? Once. Not repentant. The grace of God through your faith. But you've got to keep on believing, don't you? And let me tell you, God Almighty's got to give you the ability to do the believing.
Exactly.
It ain't the believing, ain't the foundation. the grace of God preached to you by the gospel. Is that it? No. The grace of God through Christ's death is the only answer. Because the fact is, God sees it even when sometimes I don't.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You better hope that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it's up to our seeing, do you think your faith's going to outweigh your unbelief?
Yeah.
You better hope so, if that's what it takes.
Indeed.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you've got, you better start, well, you've done missed out on several years. You best start marking them down, and you best hope you don't misunderstand one.
Yeah.
When you should put one in the believe category, make sure you don't want to put one in the unbelief. But when you unbelieve, you better make sure you ain't checking it belief. You understand? I'm not denigrating believing. And you know that because you know me here. What am I? The grace of God through Christ's death is the only answer. Because He is the sweet-smelling savor unto God.
Yeah,
let me put it another way. So you didn't even catch that, did you? He was the sweet-smelling savor unto God. He's it. He's it. Father, these things so far above us, so far beyond us, and in our natural grasp, impossible to us. But Lord, by your grace, and by your Spirit, and Lord, through your gospel, we're enabled by you to lay hold of them and to hope in them. And I thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.